Welcome back. Today we're building cassette washed pads from scratch in Ableton Live, using arrangement view, with a drum and bass mindset the whole time. This is intermediate level, so I'm going to assume you're comfortable making a MIDI track, building a device chain, and drawing automation. The goal is not just to make a nice pad. The goal is make a pad that actually survives a 174 BPM drop, without flattening your drums or stealing your sub. First, set your tempo to 174 BPM. Now go to arrangement view, because this lesson is about performance over time. Pads in DNB are rarely a static 8-bar loop that just repeats forever. They're more like glue and emotion, and they need to behave differently in different sections. Let's sketch a simple structure on the timeline. Intro, 16 bars. Drop, 32 bars. Break, 16 bars. Second drop, 32 bars. Even if your track ends up different, this gives us a real canvas for automation. And remember this rule, the pad does more work in the intro and break, and gets tucked back during the drop. Now create a MIDI track, and load Waveedable. If you prefer analog, that's fine, but I'll describe settings in a way that works either way. We're building a warm pad that's wide, smooth, and dark by default. Dark first, then we automate it brighter when we want emotion. In Waveedable, set your polyphony to around 6 to 8 voices. Turn on unison if you're using it, but keep it subtle. Think warmth, not a festival supersaw. If there's a unison amount, aim around 10 to 25%, and keep detune small. Oscillator choices. Osc 1. Basic shapes. Lean towards sine or triangle. Maybe a tiny bit towards saw if you want more harmonics. Osc 2. Also basic shapes. Triangle works great. Detune it slightly. Something like plus 5 to 12 cents. That little disagreement between oscillators is where the human starts to happen. Now the filter. Choose a 24 dB low pass. Set the cutoff somewhere roughly between 300 and 1200 Hz, and start darker, rather than brighter. Add a touch of drive, like 2 to 5 dB, just enough to thicken the mid-range. Now shape the amp envelope. You want slow edges. A pad that clicks will instantly sound amateur in DNB, because it fights the drums. Attack, around 60 to 200 milliseconds. Decay, 2 to 4 seconds. Sustain, pull it down a bit, like minus 6 to minus 12 dB. Release, 2 to 6 seconds. Play a chord and hold it. If it feels like it breathes in and out smoothly, you're good. Now we need harmony that fits rolling DNB. These pads are usually minor, suspended, or 7th and 9th flavors. Moody, but not harmonically busy. We want a vibe bed, not a jazz reharm that distracts from the groove. In arrangement view, double-click to create an 8-bar MIDI clip. Pick a key. F minor is a classic dark palette, so let's use that as an example. Try this 2-chord loop. Chord 1. F minor add 9. Notes are F, Ab, C, and G. Chord 2. DB major 7. Notes are DB, F, Ab, and C. Hold each chord for 2 bars. Long notes. Let the reverb and modulation do the motion, not the rhythm. Duplicate that so you've got 16 bars. Now a small DNB arranging move. In bars 15 and 16, change one chord tone slightly. For example, lift the 9th, or drop the 5th. Something subtle. You're basically telling the listener, something's coming, without adding an obvious riser. Great. Now we build the pad's movement and width before we add the cassette dirt. This is important. If you distort and wobble a lifeless sound, you just get a distorted lifeless sound. We want the pad to already feel alive, then we age it. On the pad track, add chorus ensemble. Set it to ensemble mode. Amount around 20 to 40%. Rate around 0.15 to 0.35 Hz. Mix around 20 to 35%. And here's a teacher note. Chorus is one of the easiest ways to accidentally make your pad collapse in mono. So keep it gentle. We'll do a mono check later. Next, add auto filter. Use a 24 dB low pass again. Start the cutoff around 600 to 900 Hz. Resonance around 10 to 20%. Leave envelope amount at zero. We're not doing synth envelope movement here. We're doing arrangement view automation, because that's how you make it musical across 64 bars. Now add reverb. We're going for jungle dub space, but controlled. Size around 70 to 120. Decay 3 to 7 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds so the pad doesn't smear immediately on the transient of the chord. High cut somewhere around 4 to 8 kHz. Low cut around 150 to 300 Hz. Dry wet around 15 to 30%. Quick rule, your reverb should not be carrying low end in drum and bass. If you're hearing a big warm cloud below 200 Hz, that's headroom disappearing and sub clarity dying. Now add echo for a tapish halo. Set the time to 1/8 dotted or 1/4. Feedback 15 to 30%. Modulation small, 5 to 15%. Filter the delay. High pass around 250 Hz. Low pass around 4 to 7 kHz. Dry wet 8 to 18%. You don't want obvious repeats. You want a glow around the chord, like the room is answering back. At this point you should have a nice wide pad that moves. Now we do the cassette wash. Saturation, crust, hiss, and wobble. First add saturator. This is your tapish rounding and gentle compression. Pick soft sine or analog clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip, then level match. This is huge. If you make it louder, you'll think it's better even when it's worse. So toggle the device on and off, and adjust output so the level stays basically the same. Now redux, but very subtle. We want a little crust, not retro video game. Downsample around 1.05 to 1.25. Bit reduction. You can leave at 16 or drop slightly to 14 or 15. Dry wet 5 to 12%. If you can clearly hear redux doing a thing, back off. It should read more like texture than effect. Now vinyl distortion. Yes, it says vinyl, but it's great for mechanical grime and hiss. Turn on tracing model. Pinch around 0.5 to 2. Drive around 0.5 to 3. Crackle optional and very low, like 0.5 to 2. Cassette is more hiss than crackle, so don't overdo it. Stereo amount 0 to 20%. We already have width. Don't make it a phase soup. Now for wow and flutter. This is the fun one. Frequency shifter. Set it to ring mod mode, often smoother for this. Set frequency to 0 Hz, that's important. Fine at 0. Now use the LFO, amount around 5 to 25, and rate around 0.05 to 0.25 Hz. Try setting LFO phase to about 90 degrees for stereo movement. What you're listening for is gentle instability, like the pad is printed on a slightly tired cassette. If it sounds out of tune, you went too far. In DNB, heavy wobble can make the whole tune feel like it's fighting the key, especially once the bass comes in. Now, before we automate, one crucial production habit. Gain staging. Tape-style chains react wildly to input level. So look at your track meter. Aim for the pad to peak around minus 12 to minus 8 dBFS before the dirt devices. If you're slamming near zero, every tiny automation move will change the distortion behavior and it'll feel inconsistent. Okay. Now we turn the sound into an arrangement view performance. Press it to show automation lanes. Start with auto filter cutoff automation, because this is how you keep the pad emotional without ruining the drop. In the intro, over 16 bars, slowly open the cutoff from around 300 Hz up to around 1.2 kHz. This creates that the tape is waking up feeling and builds anticipation. At the drop, pull it back. Bring it down into roughly 400 to 700 Hz. Darker, tucked. Out of the way, your drums and bass should feel like they got bigger when the drop hits. If the pad stays bright, the drop won't hit as hard. In the break, open it again. You can push it to 2 to 4 kHz depending on your sound, because in the break the pad is allowed to be the foreground emotion. Then the classic pre-drop tension move. In the last two bars before the next drop, close the filter quickly. It's like you're pulling the air out of the room, so the drop feels like impact. Optional move. Automate resonance up slightly right before transitions. Slightly. If it whistles, it's too much. Now sidechain ducking, because in DNB, pads need manners. Add a compressor near the end of the chain. Usually after your big time-based stuff like reverb and echo, so the whole wash ducks. Enable sidechain, and choose your drum bus, or a kick and snare group. Ratio around 3:1 to 6:1. Attack 5 to 20 milliseconds. Release 80 to 180 milliseconds, adjust to taste. You want it to recover in time with the groove. Set threshold, so you get about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on hits. We're not aiming for a house pump. We want bounce and space for the snare crack. Now let's add transitions with noise, because that's a fast pro trick and it sells the cassette vibe hard. Create a new audio track called tape noise. Drop in a white noise sample, or generate noise with operator if you want it fully synth-based. On that noise track, add auto filter set to bandpass, so it's not full spectrum harsh. Add utility and pull it a bit toward mono so it sits like a texture, not a wide wash. Add vinyl distortion for his character. Now automate it. In the last 1 to 2 bars before drops, fade the noise up slightly, not loud, more felt than heard. And do a gentle filter sweep upward so it feels like the tape machine is coming alive. Here's an upgrade. Make the hiss breathe with the chords, put a gate on the noise track, enable sidechain, and key it from your pad track. Now the noise opens when the pad plays. That makes it feel intentional and expensive, not like a constant layer you forgot to automate. Now let's do final mix cleanup, because a pad that sounds amazing solo can be a disaster in a rolling mix. On the pad track, at EQ 8 near the end, high pass somewhere around 120 to 250 HE. If your sub is huge, go steeper and higher. Keep the low end boring on purpose. If it's muddy, dip gently in the 200 to 500 HC zone. If it fights the snare, dip a bit around 1 to 3k HC. That's often where the snare crack lies. And for the cassette vibe, consider a gentle low pass around 6 to 10k HC if it's too shiny. Then add utility. Set bass mono somewhere around 120 to 200 HC, so club systems don't punish your low mids. Keep width controlled roughly 80 to 120%. Too wide can smear the center and make the track feel hollow. Now do a mono check. Temporarily set utility width to 0% for about 10 seconds. If the pad basically vanishes, your chorus and stereo effects are too aggressive, or you need to move width into a high passed layer instead of a whole sound. And that brings us to a pro approach. Think two layers, not one pad. If you have time, duplicate the pad. Make a core layer and an air layer. Core layer. Keep it mid-range controlled and more mono compatible. This one carries the harmony. Air layer. High pass it hard, like 400 to 800 HC. Keep it quiet and let this one be the wide, chorusy shimmer. This keeps the center stable while still sounding massive in headphones. If you want to get extra realistic with wow and flutter, build a tape speed macro, group frequency, shifter and chorus into a rack and map a macro to frequency, shifter LFO amount, frequency, shifter LFO rate in a tiny range like 0.03 to 0.15 Hz, and chorus rate around 0.2 to 0.6 Hz, plus chorus mix. Keep the ranges narrow. The whole trick is that it stays musical while still feeling unstable. Now a few common mistakes to avoid. If the pad is too bright during the drop, you'll lose drum impact. Automate it darker. If the wobble is too heavy, the tune feels out of key. Slow and subtle wins. If you don't high pass your reverb, you'll eat headroom and smear the sub. If you skip sidechain, the pad will mask the snare transient and your groove will feel smaller. And if you stack saturator, vinyl, and redux without level matching, you'll accidentally improve it just by making it louder. Always level match. Let's wrap with a tight 15-minute practice that makes this real. First, build the pad synth and the chain once, exactly as we did. Then write a 16-bar intro, bars 1 through 8. Keep the filter closed and the noise low. This audio version is shortened for playback.